B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ramalama ding dong, rock and roll is king.
Hi, everybody. It's Danny DeVito, and I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, all over the state of New York, stay home. I mean, everybody. I mean, we got this virus, this pandemic, and, you know, young people can get it, and they can transmit it to old people. The next thing you know, I'm out of there. So Governor Cuomo asked me to ask you, please, do us a favor, all of us, and stay home, not spread this virus around. Thank you. Watch a little TV, why don't you?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm getting a little feedback on this bad boy. A little bit of echo when I talk.
Slapback, right. They call it in the industry. Got a little slapback.
A little slapback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. It's still there. A little slapback.
Slapback.
Not going to be able to talk with this slapback.
We'll be coming in and out. Always weird. Just take your headphones off, Fred. Just throw them on the ground.
Well, then I can't hear what anyone else says.
It really doesn't matter.
Anyone figure out what's going on with the slapback?
Slapback.
We're trying to. We don't know if it's on our end or your end.
Oh.
Do you want me to turn this off and turn it back on?
Would that disconnect you for a couple of minutes, perhaps?
Yeah.
Rich, sure.
You all right? We good? You turn it off, turn it on? Excellent. By the way, real quick, this morning while I was going through the clips that we're going to do for our best of bracket, Dan might have heard me down the line. I was. There's one thing that we're going to save for Monday, but I was going through all of the Bad Band or Racehorse clips because everyone wants to hear that.
My favorite.
And it's like, I can't choose. I can't choose what year I want. I mean, because like every year there's always one that's terrifying, one that's like unbelievable, and usually one that's that becomes like a regularly played clip on the show. Midget with the Dog obviously was one of the very first Bad Bands or Racehorses that we ever did.
I have two favorites that I'm hoping you include.
All right, which ones?
Lantern Waste and Jack G.
Okay.
Those are my two.
The one that I chose includes one of those two.
Okay, good.
I will say that because it was, as I said, it was a real Sophie's choice, like trying to figure out which one I was going to use.
Right.
And there were some ones that like I had completely forgotten about. Like, I mean, there was this one guy who sang this really disturbing song about how much he loved his hamster, and it was like this like really sincere, which made it like creepier than it should be.
Yeah.
It was, like if he was trying to be wacky or something, it wouldn't be that great, but I mean, this guy was like really
once
into it.
I had a hamster, soft and small and gray.
And like, there's a video that goes with it too where he's just filming his hamster and it never shakes and it's just, or it never like moves off the hamster and it's borderline terrifying. Yorkie the Clown, of course, 200 Miles to York was one of the originals.
Yeah.
Let's Trade Butts was a song that I had forgotten about.
I don't remember that one.
You remember?
Let's Trade Butts?
Yeah,
really?
Let me see if I can find that. Yeah, Let's Trade Butts was by a guy named Petelsop, I think.
Okay.
Let me see.
Let's Trade Butts. Let's Trade Butts.
I remember this. Totally remember this.
Let's Trade Butts.
It's like a after-school special music.
If you don't like the one you got,
let's trade.
Let's trade, cause I like yours a lot.
Let's trade butts, let's trade butts.
I want to try a different kind.
Let's trade butts.
I like yours, you like mine.
Let's trade butts,
and don't forget the chorus.
Let's trade butts.
A
little Super Bowl shuffle in there.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? I imagine, like, you know, McMahon up there with a headband, and it just instead of on it, it just was written
trade butts.
Trade butts, or just butts, the word butts, possibly on there.
That's right.
So, yeah, so I. It
someone
was,
not happy with their own appearance.
Yeah,
okay,
very
that's
weird.
That's not on my end.
Oh, that's it's you're still getting the slapback.
Yeah, this is not
on my end. Okay, so we'll deal with that slapback. So I was telling John, Freda, it was I was going through. We're gonna do it Monday because there's a lot of great ones to choose from for the bracket, and it was almost impossible to pick the one to go with, and I finally did. It was tough, but I think we got one that is we can all agree is a classic out of all of those.
Okay.
All including right. one of your favorites of all time. So we'll make sure to get that in there. Also, another thing that I was very pleased to see yesterday was, do you remember, I think it was 2 days ago, I read you that post that a real mayor in Kentucky had put on their Facebook page, and it apparently pissed people off. This guy's name is Mayor Gabe Brown. He is the mayor of Boone County in Kentucky. And he wrote on the Facebook page the following. He put, "Listen up, dip blanks and sensible people. I might not have the best bedside manner, but I might not put you at ease like the governor does, but I don't care. You need to realize this is a serious ordeal. In fact, it's a big effing deal. Stay home." Now, remember, he's actually saying these words. He's not putting effing. He goes, I didn't give you information to induce panic. I gave you information so you'd be informed. Maybe, just maybe, I'm privy to information that you aren't. I'm sorry for being the gossiping mayor. I'm tired of COVID-19 conference calls. I take 3 a day plus 1 extra on the weekend with Kenton County. If you don't like what I'm telling you, then go buy some toilet paper. I pray every night in the state, county, and region that I love, that all of you, that my heart will stop doing nonsensical things. Treat this seriously. If you don't, then screw you. F you is what I want to say, but I can't. This will pass. Take it seriously. It is here. Act like you have the virus and don't spread it to other people. I have no doubt that it hasn't already been here, but testing had been limited. More cases are coming. If you ignore the problem, the worst thing that could happen is that your mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunts, or uncles could die. Be responsible. If you don't, then screw you. Warmest regards, Mayor Gabe Brown. And what has happened since then is that the comments from his constituents underneath that post have just been fantastic. Shelby String, who is a resident of Boone County, Kentucky, says, "Don't want people to see you cuss us out. You said, why don't you kiss? You told me to kiss my ass, but you deleted the post. Can't handle the backlash of your actions." And the mayor put, "Oh no, you can kiss my ass. I deleted it because I didn't properly tell you how to kiss my ass. I might be trash, but I've done more in this county than you'll ever do in your lifetime. Have a great day. Bless your heart and kiss my ass." So he continues to go down and just tell people that they suck, anybody who criticizes him. And his profile photo is him dressed in a bear suit.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yes. His profile photo is him dressed in a bear suit. And I have no idea.
A bear suit in the sense that he's wearing a suit.
Like a costume. That is of a bear.
A bear?
Yep. It's a costume of a bear.
Well, like
maybe he's
sense.
A furry. Maybe he likes to, you know, dress up as a woodland creatures and dry hump.
Well, you got to look for DNA in there. One of the great episodes. All right, dude, I'm getting such an echo in this. So
you still getting the echo?
Yeah. It's, you know, when you talk, and then it's like a second behind.
Yeah, try the other input, like the other.
I'm not
input.
Screwing with this thing. It's been working for 2 weeks.
Okay,
I'm not screwing with this thing.
I don't want to touch it. It might never work again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not screwing with this thing at all.
Fred's on a winning streak. We're not screwing with that.
No, you don't understand, John. These things, there is a little bit of like weird magic involved.
Oh,
like
really?
Oh, yeah. Like you'll have it working perfectly fine, and then you'll come on, you'll press it, and it won't be working at all. And then you'll have to go through 15 steps to get to where it was in the first place when you change nothing at all. And then sometimes even then it won't work, and then the sound will go. These are not the most reliable contraptions that we have.
Well, at least you didn't spend a lot of money on them.
Well,
no money at all.
Right. God.
Just, I don't know. This is going to be a difficult show to do, but I will power through. I will power through this. It's going to be very difficult.
Can you do it We Are the World style and just have one like headphone up to your ear, like, and the other one off?
How the hell would that happen? How would that help at all?
Because maybe sometimes it's like a left and right issue. Sometimes it's just one.
No, it's both.
Okay. It's coming on strong.
Yeah.
I got a friend. Do this. Turn your radio on, crank it, and then talk to the radio.
Ah.
There wouldn't be any feedback problems at all.
No, and then there would be that nice delay. This is only like a split second delay, but I will march on.
So you're like one of the news anchors that's on remote, where it takes like, you know, a good uncomfortable 3 seconds for them of nodding their head to end up answering a question that's asked of them.
Well, you sound normal. And Wallach sounds normal. What's happening is when I speak, it is reverberating in my head.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yes. Very good. All right.
Somebody hit the old grandma's tongue last night, the little liquor cabinet.
I don't know what that would affect.
I hear this like reverberation in my head.
Yeah, I don't. It's not science. All right. What's coming up?
Oh, Brady's everywhere. When I mean everywhere, he's everywhere.
All right. So we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, as the New England region comes to grips with the horrible crisis that is among us, the fact that Tom Brady will no longer be a Patriot, everyone is looking for clues as to what went wrong. Well, yesterday Tommy Curran flexed a little by telling the world that he had Tom Brady's email address. And he shot him a little Q&A, and hey, Brady answered back. You know, listen, talk to me when Brady tweets that you're a great friend. Isn't that right, Scott Zolak? Then we're talking. Then you can brag to the world.
You're a good buddy.
Because you're
Even
a good buddy.
Even though you're a member of the media, I still like you.
What was awesome was that Zolak had Brady was responding to a tweet that Zolak put out there. It's like, hey, at Tom Brady, at TB12, you're the best. And when Brady answered back, Zolak didn't realize that at TB12 is just some woman with like 15 followers. It's not the TB12 sports, you know, science place at all. It's just some woman who got ended up getting like a million different replies back because Tom Brady ended up using that on the reply. So there you go. Congratulations. But Curran first asked Tom Brady about the haters with a Z, saying that this new team wasn't going to work out. Brady ended up saying, quote, I'm always motivated to do the best I can for many reasons. The main motivation I have is the love of the sport and they want to continue to do something I love to do. It's not any more difficult than that. Curran then asked how tough it would be to make a transition for himself and his family from a place he's lived for 20 years. Brady answered, well, as for the past, present, and the future, I think one thing that we all have ahead of us is one day at a time. It's always hard for us to follow that, but...
Wait. One day at a time? Come yeah. Walk on the beach. Somewhere there's music playing. Don't you worry none. We'll just take it like it comes. One day at a time.
He was watching the same channel that apparently is on downstairs when you walk in over by the...
He was watching
the station that shows Alice for some reason.
That doesn't exist in anyone else's home. Still shows Laverne and Shirley.
Can you look up for me, either you or John, like what the lineup is on that random network?
They play It's a Living.
Which network are we talking about now?
The one that's on downstairs at our station.
Yeah, they play It's a Living. I've seen him watching It's a Living, Alice, Laverne and Shirley.
Like, who's watching Alice right now?
It's got a cool theme. There's a new girl in town.
I don't even remember the theme for that.
Looking good.
So Brady said, as for the past, present, future, I think the one thing we all have ahead of us is one day at a time. It's always hard for us to follow that, but the world has a way of reminding us.
Is he this boring in real life?
I mean, can you believe it? That we better focus on just that. Once again, talking loud, saying nothing, Tom Brady, you are a master of it. And I guess that you kind of want that as a coach or a GM, somebody who makes everyone think that they said something but didn't, you know, end up rocking the boat at all in the least. So, however, Tom Brady's dad spoke to a podcast, and that guy, he always talks.
Some in the media are calling this divorce from Belichick and the Patriots. Is that fair, or is that a total misrepresentation?
I think it's just a change. I don't know that it's a divorce or change. I just think, you know, 40 years together is a long time.
And yes, it is.
It's like being married 50 years.
And so, you know, I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Bill is the best coach in football. I mean, he's just Tommy sings Bill's praises. So a divorce sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation, you know. Bill's got a lot of responsibilities to keep the Patriots on track, and that is a bigger responsibility than keeping Tommy under the hood. You know, both of them are mature individuals, and I really respect Bill's decision and respect Tommy's decision as well. It's okay to take different paths. You don't have to stay joined at the hip.
And by the way, the one thing I will get out of that is Tom Brady's dad said, I respect Bill's decision, which says to me, I think what we all assumed is that just Bill decided, I don't want you back. And he kind of showed that in his actions by them never giving him an offer. But I mean, ultimately, he told us right there. And that's, I'm sure, from the words of Tom Brady himself when he talked to his dad, Dad, they don't want me back. You know, Bill's made a decision to move on. I think that right there, he basically didn't, he got rid of any of the mystery, and that seems to be exactly what happened, or at least what Brady was told. So, as I was mentioning, Tom's name has been everywhere lately, and when I mean everywhere, I truly mean everywhere.
We had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, oh, we need Tom Brady. I said, yeah. He meant that in a positive way. He said, we need Tom Brady. We're going to do great. And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
All right, we're all going to die.
Oh, my God.
We're all going to die.
What the hell does that even mean?
Okay, nothing. So, Fred, I'll tell you. Because after you wrap your head around the fact that during the worst pandemic of our lives and a dire situation in hospitals all around the country, that the president is making calls to Tom Brady to congratulate him on his new contract in Tampa Bay, you can get the context in which this was brought up. Apparently, when the president was on this conference call with all of the governors, and he told... the governors, listen, order your own hospital supplies and use us, the White House, as a backup. Washington Governor Jay Inslee told Donald Trump, listen, we need Tom Brady right now, not a backup. That's why he brought that up. Once again, we're all going to die.
Well, I hope not.
I feel safe.
I saw that yesterday. By the way, I've stopped watching those because
you can't watch them. No,
I can't watch them anymore because all I want to hear is from Fauci, and I watch the Steph Curry thing, and that's all that matters to me now.
You know, just follow Dr. Steve on Twitter. He's got his finger on the pulse.
Dr. Steve Brule?
No, not Dr. Steve Brule. But
I already follow him.
Yeah, well, that's not really him. That's a parody account. But, Dr. Steve, he's got good news. He is more positive than most people.
Who's Dr. Steve?
He used to do Opie and Anthony. He did weird medicine. I don't know. I'm getting so much feedback.
Oh, it hasn't been fixed?
Very difficult to talk. No.
It hasn't been fixed?
No.
You know, that happened to me one time, and I moved my headphones and my mic just into a different input. I just moved it over. So turn your mic off, move it over, see if that works.
I don't want to.
Well, maybe during the commercial break we can do that, because you probably hear a if you did it while we were alive. So maybe we'll try it then. But listen, Tom Brady, don't think that moving to Tampa Bay hasn't stopped his branding. He just filed for a brand new trademark that would be TBXTB. That's right, Tom Brady by Tampa Bay. The wow. Bucks used that slogan on a Twitter post, and he's like, you know what? I kind of like that. So his agency, Ye and Dubin Sports LLC, they fired a trademark request for the TB times TB for use on T-shirts, pants, shorts, sweatshirts, sweaters, mugs, jersey, electrolytes, and whatever basically he can sell, according to all the reports. And that slogan would be all over his new TB12 branded apparel. So we'll see how that goes. He didn't win the one for Tom Terrific, so let's see if he gets the TB by TB one.
He lost Tom Terrific?
Yeah, yeah. Because remember, he said that he wanted to. Who's the dude from the Mets?
Who Tom Seaver.
That's right. He was the original Tom Terrific. But what happened was he said that he wanted to trademark it because he hated that nickname and didn't want anybody else to like make T-shirts with his face on it that said that.
So he just went to Edelman and said, don't make any T-shirts.
Yes. I haven't been to Edelman's website to see what happened to those T-shirts, the stay ones, whether they're still, you know, for sale or half off or, you know, who knows.
Have you seen the cartoon of Tom Brady talking to Edelman?
Oh, you mean like the one from the town? Like the Photoshop, not the Photoshop thing, the deep fake thing?
I don't know. It's
there's
Edelman,
so many
like,
internet things.
Him and, yeah.
Oh, the FaceTime one. Yes, I did not watch it. I got sent it a couple times, and I'm like, I don't need to see this. Was it any good?
I mean, it makes fun of Edelman.
Well, then maybe good. It's worth watching then. Who knows?
Yes, indeed.
So one guy that I'm really starting to like is Bruce Arians. So he ended up talking to, I think it was like Tiki Barber, Tiki Barber's radio show, wherever you can hear that.
Yeah.
And he had Bruce Arians on, and they asked him about Antonio Brown and all the rumors that Antonio was part of the package and that he wants to play for Tampa Bay. Even Antonio Brown himself has been lobbying to play with Tom Brady on the Buccaneers. And here's what Bruce Arians had to say about that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. There's no room. You know, and probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
There is room, though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know. If he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach, I just want to play with Tom, you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Is it just because you don't trust the what he could do to the culture? Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
I don't think you need to say anything else. You're not a fan. Understood. Gotcha. Okay.
I love him.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no mixing of words there. It was, yeah, well, yeah, we're not going to, I mean, we just wouldn't work money-wise or personnel-wise. And then the press was like, yeah, he would F up the locker room. I mean, look at the dude. He's a maniac. Yeah. He's still not even like approved to be back in the league. Yeah, the guy, hell no, I'm not going to put him on this team. Good for Bruce Arians. And then he was even, and another thing.
Well, you know where Perryman is.
What's He's that? A New York Jet is what he
He's
is.
He's a New York Jet is what he is.
That's right. Averaged, what, 17 yards a catch last year?
Oh, baby.
There's your deep threat.
You got that right, Jack.
Sammy D.
Wait,
got the
I'm
guy he
feedback.
Needs.
Oh, very nice.
Why no am feedback. I not getting feedback now?
Yeah.
Dan must have pressed a magic button back at the studio.
Oh, there you go. I'm not getting feedback. How about that?
Look at that.
Nifty.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah, but you got Brett Perriman right over there. Taking off like a jet.
Another thing that Bruce Arians said, which is fantastic, anytime you hear him talk about Jameis Winston, once again, my guy does not hold back.
As we do every year, we reevaluate our team, what's best for our organization. Fixing Jameis was one of them, unless something behind door number two we thought was better, and we would have to move on. Obviously, Tom, we thought we'd have to move on. For Jameis, for me, it was the last two ball games, the regression back to the interceptions. And he hadn't done that up to, he had a nice run going. We had a great shot to get to 9-7, my outside shot to playoffs, whatever. And then, you know, we lose a couple of games on pick sixes. It was disheartening because he had made progress, then he regressed.
I love that guy. He's, you want to talk about somebody who, I know it's Tampa Bay and there's probably not a lot of people in the media. There's going to be more, I'm sure, now that Tom Brady's there, but he'd be a dream to cover. A guy that just talks and is honest and just likable. He'll answer your questions. He's not a dick. He's not condescending. And he'll give you great quotes.
Yeah, he doesn't care. I mean, he's already retired.
I'm looking at Winston's game log. He hadn't regressed. He's pretty much bad all the way through with
those
interceptions.
He's right. Like, how many interceptions did he have in those last two? Because I do remember
six.
Him. And,
he had six total in the last two. But he had four in the previous two. I mean, it's not like, oh, my God, now he's throwing interceptions. The man had 30 on the year.
Didn't he throw five in one game?
Yes, he did. Against Carolina, week six.
That's very difficult to do.
Because ultimately you would think after the first three or four, you would take the man out of the game and say, let's save you from yourself. But no, we're going to leave you in there to throw that fifth interception.
Or you would just say, like, I got to stop throwing it to the other team.
Or just stop throwing it in general.
Right. Like, let's just throw a screen pass at this point. Yeah, we're getting a little crazy. All right, Rich, what's coming up? There's so much sports going on.
Believe it or not, there is. Like, Roger Goodell, still a prick, and I've got some news that's going to make Jay Stu, Joe Murray, and Sarge very angry.
I know.
I saw that.
And the first thing that I thought was of James Stu, hey, his hair is not wet enough. All right, we will be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Just lay back, baby.
What is this?
Let it ride. This has got to be Jay Dilla. Am I right there, Danny?
Jay Dilla.
That's right, baby. Jay Dilla from Detroit, Michigan.
It's essentially just a loop, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a play on the Gazio.
Oh, please. Give me a break. This might be off donuts.
It's a minute in, and it's a loop.
Considered one of the great DJ records of all time.
Did you say donuts because it's a loop? Just a circle.
Yep.
G-C. G-C.
Rhyme over, Rich. Give me a little rhyme.
Large as possible, posse unstoppable, style topical and vividly optical. Listen, you'll see them sometimes. All BM cops, critics, and punks never ever want to see me in power. Well, that's too bad. Apocalypse Now, I'm back and I'm mad.
So funny that you only know Ice-T's cutting. Power.
Ice-T on the mic. That's the only one that infiltrated my white trash place in Kennesaw, Georgia, was the Ice-T Power album.
Rich, like, knows Ice-T Power, like, front to back.
Up that album. Wow. You want High Rollers?
Speed light, I know High Rollers.
Fast.
Too.
It's like walking barefoot over broken glass. It's like jumping rope on a razor blade. All lightning quick decisions are made. And that ends all of my rap knowledge.
There you go. Rich with the Ice-T. It's the funniest thing. He said he just got Power memorized.
I do. The entire album. It was like my one rap album that somehow got into my collection of hair metal. And then it wasn't even because of Body Count. I hated Body Count. Body Count sucked.
Like, no, when Body Count did suck.
They were the worst. And I remember I went to a concert one time, and it was a dream lineup for me. For me, this was like, if I could have invented a concert lineup in like the mid mid-90s, this would have been it. It was Sepultura opening for Helmet, opening for Ministry. I mean, it was going to be the best metal show I'd ever been to. And I show up, and Helmet, my favorite band, had like they got into like a bus accident, and they weren't able to make that show. And this guy goes on stage, but don't worry, we got a band that might even be better to take their place. Ladies and gentlemen, Body Count with Ice-T. And it was the worst trash I've ever heard. Like, they are the, we got a song called Voodoo. We think that metalheads like Voodoo. Oh, man, they were the worst.
I just like that you wanted to see Sepultura. I can only love imagine Sepultura. How many hot chicks were there.
Dude, well, I mean, it was obviously a wiener fest. I mean, everywhere you, I mean, I don't think there was one woman there, but that was one of the best concerts. I mean, Sepultura live. I saw Sepultura open up for Pantera at a place that's like the Xfinity Center. It was in one of the sheds. So I mean, at one point, Pantera was huge. Like when Far Beyond Driven came out, I think it came out debuted at number one. They were huge.
Yes.
They're playing these big places. So Sepultura opened the show, and I've never seen this before. And I've been to some pretty big metal shows at like reputable venues. They were pulling the chairs out of the bolted chairs. They were somehow getting them out of the unbolted and throwing them everywhere. It wasn't like when I saw Ministry at Lollapalooza where everyone was throwing pizza boxes and trash and setting fires. This was, they were unbolting the seats and throwing them. And it got so violent in the aisles that all of the security people ended up just leaving and saying, I'm not dealing with it. And they let Sepultura finish. No, Sepultura Chaos AD is one of the best metal albums of all time. And they blew Pantera off the stage. Pantera came on stage, they were drunk and they were all stoned and they were sloppy and they sucked and they rambled. And Sepultura was this lean, mean Brazilian ass-kicking machine that came out before them. It was just an utter, an opening act has never kicked the ass of a headliner more than that day that I saw that show.
Well, I've told you the story is that if you're in Atlanta, and you go to see the Thrashers or the Hawks, and then you walk, there's a place called the Tabernacle, which is an old church. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking back to my car, I'm parked by the Tabernacle, and a sofa goes through the window and lands in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I go, what's going on? And they're like, oh, Slayer's playing.
Oh, yeah. Slayer's like a prison breakout. There's people who don't leave their homes. They just sit in the darkness of their basements, except for when Slayer's in town. Like, Slayer's not even a metal show. It's more of a murdering spree. Like, these guys get out there, and it's a pile of meat beating the snot out of each other. And they have some weird gift, and if it was given to them by the devil, I would believe it. Because most heavy metal bands, and I don't care who it is, and I love metal, but most heavy metal bands, the first song, you're just, oh my god, this is the heaviest thing I've ever heard. But by, three or four songs, you kind of get numb to it, because it's just so loud. Slayer's one of the few bands that just the intensity ramps up the entire show to, at the end of it, you are seeing red. Like, you want to be one of those people who's just beating the snot out of people below. I don't know how they do it, but they are, that's some crazy stuff. If you ever,
by the way, the couch is in VIP. The couch isn't, in the pit. Someone in, people in the VIP section.
I'd love to see the Slayer VIP.
Yeah, right. They just took the couch and threw it out the window.
I walked into, I think I was at that show. I walked into that Slayer show, and one of the first things I saw was that in front of me in line for a beer was a dude with his shirt off, and the tattoo on his back was Jesus on the cross with a clown nose. And I went, oh, well, that's going to be interesting when he's at the gates of heaven. He's like, oh, okay, this looks, Jeff, come on in.
He's walking through. Agnostic Front.
As he walks through, they turn around. Whoa, that, okay, not so fast. You might have to wait in this line instead.
Yeah.
And then they press the button and woo.
That's it. You're making a statement there. If you go to the beach, you're telling people what's going on.
Has never been to the beach, never.
It's Friday during a pandemic, so I'll tell you this story too.
Okay.
Do you ever heard of the band Guttermouth?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, they were opening up a show, and they didn't in Detroit, and it was a place called the Shelter, which is where Eminem did all that stuff. So, but it's St. Andrew's Hall. They were in the St. Andrew's Hall. The Shelter's underneath it. So, the singer from Guttermouth didn't like what security was doing, so he took his mic stand in the base of the mic stand and hit a dude in the one of the security dudes in the face.
Ooh, you can't.
And the dude turned around. And he was huge, and the dude from Guttermouth just took off running.
Oh, my God.
ran out of the venue.
You see, here's when you know it's a bad band, is when they treat security like garbage. Because most, like, bands that legitimately, like, kill on stage and make the crowds go insane, they know that those security dudes can save their ass someday. Like, they're their best friends, because there's maniacs who get up on that stage and try to stage dive, and I've seen guys in bands get tackled. So, and the security guys being the last, like, method of defense. Most of these bands, like, tip the security guys afterwards, like, dude, thank you.
Well, the dude from Guttermouth was in Mexican jail for, like, 3 years, so I have a feeling that you know, he wasn't in his the right frame of mind.
Well, that makes sense
at the time. No. But there you go.
Sports,
there's
huh?
Some stories.
There you go. So I guess we'll throw this one story out there. This is for all of us and the entertainment purposes of it. This is going to be fantastic, because the NFL draft, it was announced yesterday, is going to proceed at its normal dates, April the 23rd through the 25th. Now, we had mentioned, obviously, they can't do the whole thing in Vegas. It's going to be mostly like a thing where the people who are drafted are going to be Skyping. Everyone's got to still keep their distances, and it will be done in a studio instead of the big grandeur that they've had in the past. However, there was a bunch of complaints by a bunch of people in the NFL, the GMs and scouts, saying that there's no way we're going to be able to do this properly with the current conditions. The medical doctors not able to give physicals, and certain things like visits were not able to take place. So despite all of that, Goodell sent out a memo saying that, quote, the committee was unanimous and unequivocal that things should proceed as planned. He also said that he's discussed the matter with many owners, club executives, and coaches, and there was said to be widespread support from the unanimous conclusion of the committee. However, just moments after that report came out,
it was the opposite.
Adam Schefter tweeted this out. He said, in Roger Goodell's memo that the draft will go on, he served warning to those around the league that criticized the league's stance. Goodell wrote, quote, public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action.
Hold on. Didn't the GM subcommittee vote unanimously against having the draft on April 23rd and moving it back?
Not according to his memo, baby.
Fake news, baby.
So he's like, everyone loves it so much that I'm going to punish people who don't.
Jesus. You know what? Have it. Yeah. Just give me something to watch.
Seriously, well, see, what's the harm of doing that on a conference call?
Fred, yeah, I'm with you from the GM's and the team's perspective. I understand what they're saying. It does seem like a kick in the nuts, but damn it, I need entertainment. And yes, put it on April 23rd to the 25th. I'm totally fine with that. And thank goodness they're not going to spread it out 7 nights for each round like they said they were going to before. I am all about
this. It's the Jets Super Bowl. It's always the Jets Super Bowl. By the way, something that pissed me off is that but I guess it just shows how much it takes to prepare, is that they've delayed the U.S. Open, which was June 18th to 21st, which I believe that they would be able to play. I don't think I have a doubt in my mind that they'd be able to play, but I guess they can't get the course. I guess you need to, like, work on the course, like, 3 months out.
Course has been closed for the last 3 weeks.
So you can't work on the course. But, like, I have every confidence that things will be back in June. I mean, it's a necessity. I mean, you can't have 30% unemployment. So every time I see something like that, I go,
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it stinks, too, because that's just getting the course prepared. And we talked about how even when the league is ready to start, the NHL or the NBA, you know, these guys got to get in a little bit of shape. I mean, you need to give them a little bit of time to be able to practice and have the team get together. And, I mean, you can't just all of a sudden say, go, and you're all set and ready to go, especially, as you mentioned, baseball, because of the pitchers, and they've got to get warmed up for at least 2 weeks, I would think.
No. More than that, they're going to have what do you think, John, like a 4-week spring training again?
Yeah. No, you got to ramp the pitchers back up. I mean, you see videos of guys like Gerrit Cole playing catch with his wife in the backyard. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not even 1% of what's necessary.
Well, have you seen what they do in spring training? I mean, they, like, trot Like, yeah. the pitchers are like Fabergé eggs.
But think about it. When pitchers come back, you don't immediately start throwing off a mound. How many times away? Well, he's throwing from flat ground, and now we're extending it from 60 to 90 feet, and then he's going to throw from a pitcher's mound, and then there's a bullpen, and then there's there's batting practice. It's going to be at least 3 weeks or a month before the pitchers are ready. Everyone else will be ready. Pitchers won't be.
Yes, and so hopefully they're back at it in May. We'll see. That is, I'm hoping that the economy can withstand this for a couple more months. All right, Rich, you can give us one more. We got 4 minutes, and then we'll hit the five, and then we'll bop in to the 7 o'clock hour.
Well, unfortunately, a couple of our friends are going to be...
Feel the pain.
Feeling the pain. Bad news for the Kowloon crew. Roman Reigns, the man with perpetually wet hair that never dries, has officially withdrawn from WrestleMania. Now, this is a way to keep safe because he is immunocompromised. He's a leukemia survivor, and he has not put out an official statement as of now, but that is to be the assumption as to why he said, I don't think I'm going to do it. On top of that, did you hear about, what's the name? McMahon. What's the Vince McMahon? Apparently, Vince McMahon just did some really shady stock stuff, like almost kind of dumping a lot of his stock, or actually cashing it out because he's worried about what's going on with his company. So think about this: he's lost all of the gate for WrestleMania, which is his baby. On top of that, all of these other SmackDowns. I mean, there's going to be at least 3 months of having no fans at his events. On top of that, his XFL had to cancel the season mid-season, so that's a bunch of money that he's not going to get. And this is all on top of apparently whispers and rumors that the WWE wasn't doing that well financially anyway. So,
hey,
yeah, I know.
It's all about the AWA.
Is that what it is? It's the one that he was the king at the Gannis Arena.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Joe Murray's the king. So, so he dumped a bunch of stock, and then, but they're having WrestleMania, is what
you're saying. WrestleMania, it's two nights, and it's going to be just awesomely weird. And Rob Gronkowski, still the host of WrestleMania, despite the awkward silences and the weird posturing.
Give me Gorilla Monsoon. I want Gorilla Monsoon.
My favorite thing about this WrestleMania is that they're promoting it as being, it's two nights in two different locations. Who cares what location it's at if there aren't people there?
God, we're going from one warehouse to another. Right, across the parking lot.
Where's Mean Gene? Where's Mean Gene? All right, what are we doing at 7? Are we going to do one of these?
We're going to do the bracket. That's right. We're back to the TNR Best Moments bracket. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gary Goldman is going to be joining us, by the way. Gary Goldman, who is keeping a lot of people sane on the internet during this time. And he is in Georgia and working out the parameters for him coming on was quite a feat yesterday by me. He's got to drive somewhere so his phone works. All right. We will be back in just a moment, and we will tell you what a fantastic bit we have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.